Oliver Wendell Holmes Jr. was a member of the U.S. Supreme Court, and he was considered quite a remarkable man. And one day he was asked how it was that he came to pursue a career in law. And he said that actually the law hadn't always been his first choice of jobs. In fact, he said, I might have entered the Christian ministry if certain clergymen I knew hadn't acted so much like undertakers. Well, joyless Christianity is not supposed to be a thing. As preacher Billy Sunday once said, if you have no joy, there's a leak in your Christianity somewhere. As we heard last week in the first of our series on the fruit of the Spirit, the fruit of the Holy Spirit is love. And one of the features of that fruit of the Spirit is joy. So what is joy? I think the probably easiest place to start is by saying what joy is not. Joy is not the same thing as happiness, even though they're often used interchangeably in our vocabulary. Happiness, the word, comes from an Old Norse word which means good fortune. And that's what happiness is, right? It's dependent upon good fortune, circumstances around us. But when circumstances change from good to bad, happiness vanishes, right? Joy, by contrast, has a much more reliable source because joy is what comes to us from God. So in good circumstances, joy might look like happiness. It may mimic happiness. And in ordinary or difficult circumstances, joy is a little quieter. It may look a little bit like peace or hope. But in all circumstances, joy is tied to God's love. So we heard again the passage that we began with last week. Jesus said, I have spoken these things that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. And notice he said this in the context of love. Remain in my love, Jesus said in the preceding verse. As my Father has loved me, so I have loved you. If you obey my commands, remain in my love, your joy will be complete. Have you ever experienced the reality of God's love for you? If you have, I bet that joy was a part of that experience. Because when Scripture talks about the joy of the Lord, it is, I believe, tied to this experience of God's abiding love. And if you're not sure what experiencing God's love even means, I think Walter Casper, a theologian, explains it well. This is what he says it's about. Experiencing God's love in Jesus Christ means experiencing that one has been unreservedly accepted, approved, infinitely loved, that one can and should accept oneself and one's neighbor. Now, if you have not had this experience of God's love, don't panic. We can't force God's hand to do anything on command. So it's not a failure on our part if we have not had that kind of experience of God's love. But I would encourage you to continue asking God, Lord, show me what it means to remain in your love. Because that's what Jesus said we should do, right? Remain in my love. And in the meantime, we could have a conversation if you want, but just in this Sunday's sermon, I'm going to suggest a spiritual habit to take on. To spend 5 minutes, 10 minutes a day sitting in the presence of Jesus. So I want you to find a seat in your home that's quiet, and I want you to pull up an empty chair. And I want you to imagine that Jesus is sitting in that empty chair beside you. And as you take deep, cleansing breaths, I want you to prayerfully and slowly repeat, Jesus, I receive your love. And you practice this as you breathe in and you breathe out. Jesus, I receive your love. And practice this little prayer, just 5 minutes, 10 minutes a day, as a habit, as a way of opening yourself to receiving God's love. Because joy is tied to remaining in the love of God. But in the Bible, joy is not something that we just passively receive from God. Scripture actually says that we can actively participate in joy, in God's joy. And we can do this by becoming joy seekers, people who seek out opportunities to rejoice. So Scripture reminds us that we are, just in general, encouraged to take joy in the goodness in our lives. This has to do with even mundane things like the food that we eat. We had a chance to practice that kind of joy just 2 weeks back with Thanksgiving. In Scripture, joy and food and drink are often depicted as a cause for joy, so much so that God compares his kingdom to a great banqueting feast. The same can be said of work, of rest, music, song, physical activity, intellectual pursuits. These are all things that are good things that God has created that we can take joy in. I have a friend who's an athlete. She's a swimmer. And she says that whenever she starts moving her body in the water, she experiences a burst of joy. And she has described it to me as the sheer wonder of living in a created body, of having a body that moves. Or I think of my grandmother. My Nana lived on the 16th floor of an apartment building. And every evening, she would brew herself a cup of tea, and she would go to her little rocking chair that was beside a window, and she would rock and sip her tea, and she would watch the sunset like it was a movie. And if you were there visiting, you had to stop whatever you were doing, and you had to have a cup of tea and sit with her and ooh and ah over the sunset. And if she was alone, and it was a particularly spectacular sunset, she would call up my mom, and they would exclaim over the sunset together. You see, God loves his creation. He loves the world that he made. And I think God rejoices in his creation. In the sunsets, the animals, in bodies that move and minds that think. And when we too make a point of gratefully enjoying the beautiful world God has made, then I think we join in God's love and God's joy in his world. Scripture says, though, that there's joy of a higher order than our enjoyment in the created world. Scripture says, wine and music, they gladden the heart, but the love of friends is better than either. I don't think I have to explain this one to you. I hope all of you have known the joy of loving somebody and of being loved in return. God calls us to take joy in the human relationships that are ours. And this is not just about receiving joy, of being loved. There's also joy to be had in loving, actively loving and serving another person. Scripture says, happy are they who consider the poor blessed. Happy is the one who maintains justice and who does what is right to others. Loving others, taking joy in the people that God brings in our lives, is an outflowing of the love of God, which the Holy Spirit is forming in us. Obviously, when we're speaking of joy as a kind of spiritual discipline, we must inevitably speak of taking joy in God. The psalmist says in Psalm 37, delight yourself also in the Lord. And if you look through Scripture, you'll notice that joy is frequently tied to corporate worship, to worshiping together as a community, to personal prayer, and to worship in music. So in Scripture, we see joy expressing itself in dancing, singing, clapping, feasting, celebrating. It's an active call, right? When you look at Deuteronomy 16:5, this is when they were, it's about the Feast of Booths. They're called to celebrate for 7 days, 7 days of joy. You shall be altogether joyful, God says. I think worship of God, whether it's on our own or together in community, is often a place where many of us first encounter the joy of the Lord. So developing a regular habit of worship is one way of allowing God to form his love in a spirit of joy, in rejoicing in him. C.S. Lewis once said, "It isn't so much the joy of the Lord that we seek when we worship, as it is the Lord of joy himself." So to know Jesus is to taste of his joy. So to review, joy is tied to remaining in God's love. And one simple habit that we can take on is to place ourselves in God's presence daily, and to allow a moment of quiet where we actively seek to receive his love. Second, joy is something that we can actively participate in by being joy seekers, in rejoicing in the goodness in creation, rejoicing in the goodness in relationships, and rejoicing in the goodness of our relationship with God. But what about those times in life when life is really hard? Rejoice in all circumstances. How do we do that? One of the challenges of getting older is that it becomes harder and harder to hold on to the rosy optimism of youth. Experience teaches you that life isn't easy. Life isn't always fair. Not everyone is good and kind. Even on the sunniest of days, missiles can fly out of nowhere and blow your life to bits. It can be hard as we get older not to become jaded. But cynicism is the enemy of joy. A counselor, a friend of mine this week, said that this is the price of wisdom, knowing just how hard life can be. But, she said, there's a gift that comes with wisdom, and the gift is this, that we know how to find the gold in life and to enjoy that gold to the fullest. I was reminded of this week when a friend died suddenly at the age of 44 of a massive brain aneurysm. He and his wife haven't always had the easiest of life, but they did have this great gift of their marriage, which was gold. Yet even as they pronounced him dead, his wife, in what I am imagining was surely the greatest loss of her life, thanked God. She thanked God for the gift of a kind and loving husband, for the joy of having had those years with him. You see, this woman has so remained in God's love throughout her life that she trusts him. And she knows that although pain is inevitable, loss is inevitable, and there's a senselessness to so much that happens in this world, God promises that nothing that is gold will be lost. One day, God will redeem this world, purifying it of all its wickedness and desperation and dirt, so that all that remains is gold. Friends, joy is about finding the gold. The love of God, which the Spirit is forming in us, gives us eyes to be gold seekers and gold finders in this world. May we seek and find the gold as we live in Him. Amen.